Blog Talk Radio.
Silver and gold, silver and gold. Everyone wishes for silver and gold. How do you measure its worth? Just by the pleasure it gives here on earth. Silver and gold, silver and gold, mean so much more when I see. Silver and gold decorations on every Christmas tree. Silver and gold mean so much more when I see. Silver and gold decoration on every Christmas tree.
Hello and welcome to Shutter Button Poetry with Sky, on a team of voices. A team of voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the site up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. A special thanks to AP Taylor for sponsoring the Blog Talk page. And, of course, a special thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the Blog Talk page so we can speak out live. I am your host, Guy, and we are here on another night of Shutter Button, which is various photos that I've taken or my other photo op madness person, my mom, she takes. And over the past 7 years, maybe, I've been running some contests. These photos for poets to write to. So we're going to be featuring some of those poems tonight. And I did put a disclaimer in the topic board that I wanted a winter theme poem. So we're going to winter it up. Of course, that was Burl Ives that we opened with. I have to say that Silver and Gold must be one of the most nostalgic and one of my most favorite Christmas songs. I would still say Carol of the Bells. Still really love Carol of the Bells, but Silver and Gold, for nostalgia's sake, and of course those clay animation movies, definitely very much my favorite. Also, a little bit about Burl Ives. He was born in June 1909 and passed away in April 1995. He was an American musician, singer, actor with a career that spanned more than six decades. Ives began his career as a singer and guitarist, eventually launching his own radio show, The Wayfaring Stranger, which popularized traditional folk songs. In 1942, he appeared in Irvin Berlin's This Is the Army and became a major star on CBS radio in the 1960s. He successfully crossed over into country music, recording hits such as Little Betty Here and Funny Way of Laughing. Ives was also a popular film actor in the late 1940s and 50s. His film roles included So Dear to My Heart, A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, as well as The Big Country, for which he won an Academy Award. So if you like a little bit of information, there is a lot of bit of information for him, because he is very iconic. And We're going to kick it off, and I'm going to say hello to my first caller. Hello, Raconteur.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Keeping warm.
That is good. It's pretty cold up here. I don't know about you, but it's pretty cold up here.
Maybe it's cold outside.
I know. I like that one. Actually, where was I? I'm doing this Christmas trivia. That wasn't one of them. I'm doing this Christmas trivia at work, and it wasn't. It was the one where she's like, buy me a Mercedes. Santa Baby. Yeah.
Yes. Santa Baby. Yeah.
So we've got this, we've got the Christmas trivia going, and I have my teammates. And every day the questions go out, and I'm sorry?
No, I said your teammates. I said Jack Frost.
No, my teammate is a fifth grade teacher, so... I think we got 6 out of 10 right today, but they were really hard. I mean, I feel like I even want to, actually, I mean, I could really, we can maybe bring some of it here. The lower elementary school teacher, principal rather, is in charge of it. And she had some hard ones today, but we did get 6 out of 10, which I really was proud. And I mean, I think we could share some of them. You,
cool.
If you are interested, that might be fun. I am just looking through a couple things here. Can you hear that noise in the background?
I'm not hearing it. But then I don't hear the noise on my own phone. So.
Yeah. Well, my heater is still looking to get fixed, and I can't really tell if you can hear the heater, so I'm not quite sure. It's still making that loud noise.
I'm not hearing it.
All right, good. Okay, so that's good. All right. I am just looking, because Deborah likes to write for, like, all my things. Well, she's written for a good amount. I mean, I've written like 600 and something, so. But in the meantime, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Like I said, you know, just keeping warm. I actually stumbled across an anime channel on my streaming that has a D&D cartoon that I don't know if you've ever seen, and it's really making me smile, because it's like going to your show. I mean, they were describing that the classes, it was amazing. I think it's a recent cartoon too. It's and a new season's coming out next year. So I don't know the name of it though. I'm sorry, but it's really a good cartoon. They actually refer to the people behind the screen, you know, so they're playing online, but they refer to the players, and they've got NPCs, and there's magic spells and hit points, and just like Dungeons and Dragons.
What platform is it on?
Plug your other show.
yeah. What platform is it on?
I don't know. I've got the Zumo. It's one of the free streaming channels, It has a weird name, a sub name to it. It's like, you know, IPTV, and it had an odd name to it. It's definitely Japanese, because the theme song is in Japanese, but it's not subtitled, because everything is in English. So, you know, a bunch of people from the real world get trapped in the computer playing the game, and, you know, that kind of a thing. And they don't know how to get out.
Okay. Kind of like a little bit of a Jumanji going on.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
I mean, your description's a little vague.
Well, I mean, I could start. You could find it if you the main character's name. Well, you know, the our hero character. Her name is Maple, and if you search for her guild is Maple Tree. So if you search for the cartoon Japanese, I think it's Japanese. It's anime and Maple Guild. I'm sure you'll find reference to it. It's only streaming on like 4 platforms. I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu. I'm pretty sure it's on what was the other one? Paramount.
But, okay.
You know, it's definitely out there. And it's really pretty cool. I mean, as far as the details, anyone that plays the game is going to start recognizing the spells, Dancing Sword, the special abilities, the hit points, everything you'll recognize. The character classes, the NPCs even, you'll recognize. It's really very, very, very true to the game, very well written, and interesting, you know. And they mention adventures. I know there's a couple of packages, and I'm upset that I don't remember it off the top of my head. But and they mentioned a couple of the other games. what is it? Eversword or something, or ever? Evermore, there's a couple of games that are like Dungeons and Dragons crossovers that they mention also.
Okay.
It's really interesting. It's pretty cool.
All right. I'll have to go check it out. I mean, you did a pretty good plug for that. You sound like you're getting a little bit of a cold there.
Yeah, I just saw something stuck in my throat right at the moment.
All right. Because I had enough of being sick this year, so I've got to keep that over there.
yeah, I'll try not to give it to you.
Thanks. You know, there was this one time that we all got sick at the same time, like everybody on the radio, and it's really funny because obviously we're nowhere near each other, but it was just kind of a little bit hilarious because we were all sick and at the same time, miles and miles away from each other.
Yeah, the big joke with that is, you know, I hope you don't get an ear infection.
Yeah, I mean, that would make more sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not breathing the same air, but I am in your ear.
Yeah. Now, are you on this month?
Scheduled to be a day after Christmas, but I'm probably gonna take a little convincing for me to do it. I don't know. I'm not. You know. I don't have a topic in mind, and you know. Christmas is the end of the year and holidays and everything else, and to try and get the topic board up and all of that, I don't even know an idea for a topic yet, so.
Okay. Well, while we are – my computer is going super slow right now. Well, no, I have things I can plug, but while we're waiting, I'm gonna tell you the trivia, right? Because this is what we had to answer. So it is Christmas trivia. Okay, here we go. So question number one was, there was a word bank, so that did make it easier, but still. Christmas was banned in this island country from 1999 to 1998.
Oh, wow.
Mhm. Yeah, like, who knows this stuff? Actually, my partner knew this, so it worked out well.
I'm impressed. I have no clue. For some reason, I want to say the Sandwich Islands, but that doesn't make sense. I have no idea.
It is Cuba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we actually got that one right. All right, Christmas trees in the western part of Eastern Europe country were often decorated with an artificial spider web because of the story of the Christmas spider. What country was it? We got this one wrong. Sorry, I actually don't even remember what the right answer was, but we got this one wrong.
And what, Norway?
Ukraine.
No. Okay.
Ukraine. We got the third one wrong, too. We did get four wrong. We were not that good. The third one was, in this country, culinary traditions, culinary, so this might be up your alley, included serving 12 dishes meant to give good luck for the next 12 months, for Catholics meant to reflect the number of apostles.
It's 12 fish dishes. It's Italy.
No.
What, the 12 fish? The 12 fishes? No.
12 dishes of food.
Yeah,
it was Poland.
They're fish-based. They varied. It's not always the same thing.
Well, no, this says Poland.
Okay.
Okay, so we did get this one. One of the most famous Christmas carols, Silent Night, was written in the in this country in 1818.
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
I knew that one was Austria. I don't know why, but somewhere along my travels. I also have been brushing up on my trivia. All right. We got this one wrong. This was one of the four we got wrong. Instead of just one Santa, this country is visited by 13. And you know what? My partner said the right answer, and I was like, I don't know. And I should have just left it. She was right.
What was it? Africa?
It was Iceland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't. So it's interesting. All right, and the roots of the strange modern traditional Christmas pickle ornament in the U.S. has been attributed to this country. I knew this, and she knew this too. But yeah, everybody knows the pickle, right? The country celebrates Los Pasados.
Mexico.
That one was Mexico. We got that one right. And then during the time when the country was under communist control after World War II, the government did not like St. Nicholas or Santa Claus, so they created their own version, translate to Grandfather Frost or Christmas Brother, who came on New Year's Eve. I did know that one.
Was it the Ukraine?
Serbia.
Okay.
All right. And then the last one, the Wren Boys or Girls procession is a very old tradition that takes place on St. Stephen's Day in this country. Now, this one we kind of guessed because it said St. Stephen's Day, so we guessed this one, but we guessed right. Ireland.
Oh, there you go.
So that was our fun. All right, so I want to put up the first poem because I picked this one. I hope Deb doesn't mind me using random poems of hers. I don't think she does. But we have permission to read for her, and she wrote a lot. So this photo... copy and link. It sounded like a great tip to me. And this is, so my mom goes around. This is actually one of my mom's photos. And she has these little trolls. And she dresses them up and she does weird shoots with them. They're actually really cute, though. She did a whole October, a series of them. They were hiding in the pumpkins. They were walking down, like, really beautiful fall roads. And they're just really cute little trolls. And so in winter, she didn't do as many as she did for the fall, but she did a few cute poses in the winter. So this one's right next to a birdhouse, and it has, like, this little plastic bird, and it's this cute little troll holding a pine cone with a Santa elf hat and a scarf, and it's just so darn cute. She's quite creative. So Deb wrote to this. She actually got gold in this contest. So, Deb, if you're listening, I still want you to call and read the one you picked. This is just the one I picked. So this is called It Sounded Like a Great Tip to Me by Deborah Lee. Trina tucks tangerine tinted tresses neath her candy cane striped hat. She ties on her peppermint scarf, holding a pine cone in her lap. Now all her fingertips are sticky from grabbing a thick pine sap. She poses for the camera, grinning for the photograph. Then Trina winks into the lens so that the camera guy laughs. The photo is on two magazines inked with red for her autograph. That night, she hooks up at the club with the gigolo tending the bar. He snagged her key ring, then Mr. Gigolo stole her car. But after hitting the tree, it did not move too far, and cops haul him to jail, sobbing like a whiny baby. Woman on the bar stools clap, buying cocktails for her and me, leaving him tips and all until, as I write, do not eat the yellow snow, I see, end poem. And I just think that one is hilarious. Because she describes, not only does she describe the picture well, where if you take the photo away, you're going to see this, you're going to imagine this little troll, the little hat, and all these things, but you're also going to, she has a whole original story there, so it's just absolutely hilarious and descriptive, and I really loved it. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, that's really cool. And she, you know, further embellished the situation and gave it more depth by you know, making, like, the bartender a gigolo on top of everything else. I mean, it's interesting. I could only imagine what the picture was. And then, you know, buying everybody drinks, you know, out having a good time. You know, the Christmas antifreeze. It sounds like a blast. And you know, there's always that idea about, you know, make sure you don't get behind the wheel or you've got an alternate means of transportation. You know, the really good bartenders watch out for you. They call your cab. They won't let you drive. They'll take your keys. But, you know, you got to know them for them to cross that line, too. That was a cool poem.
Awesome. Thanks, the Raconteur. And thanks for Beverly. Raconteur, I'm going to play a song at this time. I know we were not in the halfway or whatever, but I'm going to play a song at this time. And it's by Celtic Woman, and I'll give you a little bit of information after I play it. But I'm going to play the song, enjoy it, and then we'll be back for some more poetry.
I hope this next song will evoke some very special memories for you all.
All right, that was Celtic Woman. And I actually got to see them live 1 year. My mom took me to a concert for my birthday, and it was them. So a little bit about them. Celtic Woman is an all-female Irish musical ensemble formed in 2004 for a one-time event held in Dublin, Ireland. They started touring internationally as a group after multiple airings on PBS helped boost the group's popularity. They released their debut album, Celtic Woman, in 2004. And have since released more than 20 albums, and they have sold over 9 million records worldwide, and they have been named Billboard's World Album Artist of the Year 6 times. I have to say, they were really great in concert. It was a very long time ago. It was probably in my very early 20s. So actually it probably was very soon after 2004. It was probably was around 2006, maybe. I may have just turned 20. I'm not sure. I was very young. When I'd seen them, I think it was my first year or two ever being moved out. So I think it was, I probably was about 19 or 20. And yeah, so what I remember, they were excellent. Well, I hope you enjoyed them and that song and a little bit of Christmas cheer. I will say I wrote for Deb's show last night and I was all prepared and I was all ready. and then of course for reasons, you know, she had to cancel, but I was like, oh my gosh, I am so ready tonight. And then I was like, oh man. But I was like, I was happy to go to sleep instead. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, no, I can go to bed. but at least I have one ready for next week. So that's really exciting that I have it ready. But let's talk about the shows that are coming up, okay? So I have tomorrow, it's me, actually. I'm like, sound surprised when that happens. So tomorrow I have a merry Hyrule Christmas. I did say you have to reserve. I think I'm going to take that back, but some people have already reserved. But I mean, I'm going to leave it up there, but it's The Legend of Zelda, and they have a whole Christmas album that's like Legend of Zelda mixed with Christmas tunes. It's really cool. We're going to be playing those intermittently throughout the show. I do have photos that you can claim. I also have the most memorable quotes up there. And as I always say, quotes can go anywhere you want. Some of the pictures have scenic views. Some of them are just Link or Zelda. And even if you don't know the Phantom, you really could just – I gave Link, so you could just, like, briefly look at it if you want. And here's my thing. I wrote, poems do not have to be holiday themed, but they must be at least winter themed. Welcome to one of my favorite lands of all time, Hyrule. For this show, you may choose one photo to write to. Please reserve, first come, first serve. Whatever photo you choose, pay homage to the chosen character, even if it's just in the author's notes. So I did, you know, give you guys a little leadway. If you choose a quote, you must have a winter-themed poem, and you must somehow pay homage to the game and or the characters in some way, even if just in the author's notes. I get if you don't know the game, so there are some open options with the quotes. So the quotes, you can go anywhere you want, as long as you pay homage to it in the author's notes. And we go live tentatively at 9:30. That's probably going to be what I'm doing for a little while. If I could get on before 9:30, it will be subject to change. I might move it up a little bit, and I will be ending at 11. So it'll be an hour and a half if I do go on at 9:30. So there we go. And then on Thursday, on the 14th, is Sweet Discussions. When Nature Laughs. This is a show that was postponed. So you guys have probably heard the topic before, but there is still time to write. And tonight they will be celebrating Thursday night. They will be celebrating 2023 Comedy Wildlife Photography winners. After last weekend's holiday rush, take a moment to enjoy these unique moments of nature captured on film. And there's lots of cool photos you guys can look at. Saturday night is going to be A.P. Taylor and Jay Hatter, Deborah Lee, and they go live at 9. And the prompt is, to be determined. Prompt to be determined. I don't know if that's really to be determined or if that's actually the prompt. So that's interesting. I think it could go either way. What do you think?
Yeah, that would make a cool topic.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of things going in there. Oh, and I missed Linda. I'm sorry, Linda. Linda also is on Friday. So the 15th, she goes live at 10 with Open Poetry. So go visit Liquid Damage for Open Poetry. It is this Friday, that one. And then, of course, we have the Monday night personal prompt with Deb. And I'm trying to look. Oh, my gosh, I'm skipping another one. Sunday night. Wow, we are booked this week. Sunday night, Jay Hatter is going on with Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem. Join me at 9:30 for a night of celebration of Deranged December, Part 2. So on December 19th, the New York Globe published the very first cartoon of Robert Ripley's Believe It or Not. The rest, they say, is history. In celebration of his anniversary, we'll be celebrating the month of December with Deranged December. We will look at some of the oddest tales in the world of murder and mayhem that will leave you asking, did this really happen? I can assure you it did. So he has some stories featured there. Go check them out. You can write a poem, be inspired. And I'm trying to look for
JCA, not
JCA. And then Monday, Winter Wonders. And it's a show that was postponed. I already have a prompt. I already wrote to it. I'm so excited. I'm so prepared. It's been the most prepared I've been in a long time. There are some great photos in there. I had a hard time picking. I went with this beautiful one. I really think it's quite beautiful. She goes on at 10. Reserve your prompt. And then rounding it back to Tuesday. It is me again, but I'm not really sure. So we'll see when we get there because I know what I want to do. Don't know if I'm going to have time to create the topic. So one good thing about my topics are most of them I built a while ago, and I'm just writing it out, building new topics. We're going to see. We'll see what happens. But I am slated for next Tuesday. All right, so that is all the stuff going on. I do have a caller. Hello, AP Taylor.
Hello, Sky. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am substantially better than a few hours ago.
That's good.
I had no less than 5 local anesthetics in my face to have some dental work done. And so I was a blubbering mess until about half an hour ago, and now all the local anesthetic has worn off, and I'm feeling much better about the world, I've got to say.
That is good. That is good. All right. I don't know. So you had her in Step Drop. I don't know if you guys read the winter themed, but I'm gonna have you read anyway. So
okay. That's cool.
He can explain to be determined too.
We were just plugging your show, and we were debating whether to be determined was topic or the topic is to be determined.
No, okay. it's actually because we haven't worked it out yet. But it's not a bad topic. So if we don't come up with anything better, we'll stick with it.
All right. All right, I have two poems from you. Did you want to read them both?
Do.
Did you want to read one? I don't know.
Well,
you dropped
I'm happy to read.
Yeah.
I'm happy to read both. I'm happy to read both,
okay.
Sky.
All right,
the one that's I've just dropped one, which is brand new. Yeah, so I can read that first if you like.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, so this is to your image of the sort of roots on the path. Yeah, this is a quatern. It's one lightly treads, and it goes a little bit like this. Upon this path, one lightly treads, as we go seeking a way past, appearance may be a worn thread, or like waters just freshly cast. Those ways sheltered by poplar trees, upon this path one lightly treads, their roots tussled breathe, onto the curling snakes are led. As shadows by boughs are spread, and the rivers tussle in joy nearby, upon this path one lightly treads, and I never thought to ask of why. The sun is golden on the mottled shoots, its final rays orange glowing as bled, picking up below those mottled roots upon this path.
Absolutely gorgeous. So this one was taken in England. I do have an obsession with trees and tree roots. And when I saw this on the ground, I know it's quite an odd picture, but I thought that was just so cool how it just looked. They're just so intertwining. It almost looks like a lattice work or it was in the ground.
Mm.
It's really pretty. I loved how you brought the form in, of course, and how you kept on with the repeat of the on the path one lightly tread. And I mean, it's quite gorgeous in that refrain. I also love the darker aspects that you brought into it with the shadows by boughs are spread and the rivers tussle and joy nearby. I love it because you can't see it, the river. And we actually were by a river because we were on a waterfall walk, a series of waterfall walks. So it was a good walk. It was a good test. But also, the thing is that when I do these pictures, I love to see what other people see in the photo and even what they don't see and what they are imagining. So it just so happens that there was a river by. But if there wasn't, I would have loved it just the same because you're looking beyond the photo. You're looking throughout the lens and you're saying, okay, what else is around here? And sometimes when I take a photo, someone, you know, or very rarely I might get a comment like, this is nothing. This is like a brick. What are you doing? And I'm like, well, let's have some imagination, people. Take it as a metaphor.
Yeah,
you around. Like, they're like, this is, like, I think that was the one time. I think that I did it was a pile of bricks. It was a very nice pile of bricks. But someone was like, this is a pile of bricks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and,
good. Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm laughing because I did a brick picture and I love it, you know. So
yeah, I love
something
it too.
About brick.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought there were so many creative ways that someone might go with it, and a lot of people did. A lot of people did. It was just one person. They couldn't get by it. They couldn't stand by it. And I'm like, okay, I respect your opinion, but you know, a lot of people were going for it, so.
Yeah.
So when people start bringing other aspects into the photo and start seeing beyond it, it really interests me because then I get to see the photo in a whole new way. Really, really well. I also love the question mark, and I never thought to ask of why. I really love that. But I love when people use questions to pull the reader in. Of course, you're not the reader is more like saying, okay, well, why is this? Why is that? And it leaves them to ponder. And I think, oh, no, that was, who was that who used to always say that? Just have this to ponder for a while. What poet was that? Oh, my goodness. Moon. Something Moon. Oh, I really enjoy him too. But at the end of all of his poems, he's like, here's something to ponder. And when you leave that in the middle of the poem and then you, and then for the reader, I think it's also very giving. Excellent piece. Rack and Hoor, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea because the refrain, when you're talking about when one lightly treads, it's like it's the steps. So the repeating refrain makes you think of the repeating steps. And I could actually, you know, almost hear the echo of somebody walking because of the way that you arranged it. Beautiful composition. And it reminds me of a really brief winter joke. Why is icy sidewalk like musical notes?
I don't know, Rack. Why?
If you don't see sharp, you'll be flat.
Oh, that's very good.
And so you're talking about lightly treading. It made me think of that too, because you know,
yeah, you know, nice.
You got to watch where you're going, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right.
And
do you want me to pick one? It's the dragon
one. You read the second
one? Yeah.
Yes, this one you know, this is, I looked at this photo, it's the first thing I saw, I just saw dragons. Anyway, this is Two Dragons Entwirled. Goes a bit like this. They stared wistfully from the cave outward while a hatchling practiced singeing leaves, reflecting on the recent age of discord and many streams of present weaves. There had been turmoil in leadership ranks. The distant Asian dragons had spouted fire. Then there were troubles with gold banks. The dragon birth rate reflected lower desire. A strange virus which saw fires when cough. Technology made it hard to motivate young. The time in the air had hit a long-time trough, while burnt villages now far fewer among. And so much more to eat properly these days. Fresh meat prices have doubled by years. Once could have pieces prepared to braise, far better to buy wholesale and drink beers. So many get quick schemes, ask silver coins, simple time in the cave, much less it seems. Wood it swirls and patterns, here future joins, within the past and present, lay dreams. End poem.
Excellent piece. And I really do enjoy this one. And like I said in my author's notes, the intertwined social climate that you bring in into the distant past and bringing them all together. And this is one of those ones that someone I think could have said, this is just a piece of wood or whatever. But I'm like you. I don't know if it's because I love dragons, but I see dragons everywhere. I'm like, oh, look, it's a dragon in the sky. It's a dragon here. And everyone's like, listen, there are not dragons everywhere. I'm like, there are. So I love that you saw a dragon, and this was such a beautiful – this one was taken in England as well. You must like my England photos. But this one was taken in England as well, and it was at it was an art museum, and this was a sculpture museum. But this piece was, like, huge. It took up the whole room, actually. It was a small room, but it was one of the only pieces in the room, and it was, like – it's as big as a car, maybe. This was one tiny section, but it had so many grooves in the wood, and it was all, like, petrified. Like, it was just so, it was just so amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. And you did such a wonderful job in this with your creativity and with... You know, I don't know if I would have ever thought to go, like, you went from fantasy to, you know, going through so many things that where I'm trying to look for, here we go, far better to buy wholesale and drink beers, so many get quick schemes, ask silver coins. I just, the way that you intertwine that so smoothly, I thought was very, very clever. Rack and Hoor, what do you think?
Yeah, the transitions, like you said. But, I really like, it's not just dragons, but he's got the whole scenario of them, like, he's practicing learning how to burn leaves. So that really adds some texture, some feeling to the piece. You're not just saying, oh, I see a dragon. It's like he's doing something, and this is the result of it, and that's what you're seeing. So it's not just, this movement, that there's more feeling to it when you do it that way, and that's absolutely beautiful, because it really takes you through the piece at the same time, and the story, it makes it flow. It's a wonderful job.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
You're right. He didn't just describe a dragon. He was very, very creative. I totally agree with that. All right. So thank you so much for calling and for reading.
Pleasure.
And did you want to plug for Saturday? I mean, we did, but I was kind of, you can plug yourself if you'd like.
I think you plugged. It's TBD until we work something else out. And We'll go with that, and I'll get off the phone before I get. We've got storms coming through here, all down the east coast sky. So we've got a little baby storm down here, and got a whacking great big cyclone up in far north Queensland. But they're all connected, so I'm getting off before I get beaten up by a storm.
Okay, well, stay safe. Thank you so much, AP.
Pleasure. Thank you. Have a good show. Okay. Talk soon.
Bye. I almost called him Hatter. I'm calling everybody Hatter Day. I don't know what's happening.
Hatter is a force of nature. That's why.
I have no idea. All right. So I am going to drop. I'm running towards the light. Hatter is on the board running towards the light, and he is here. He has found the light. Hello, Hatter.
Hello.
How are you?
I watch you sleep from your ceiling.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, thank you. I have a bat next
just
to
sometimes.
My head, so if you decide you want to come down from the ceiling, I will be well prepared.
Never would I do that.
Okay, good. All right. I know you dropped a poem. I'm going to drop another one of Deb's that I put down because I think some of you guys may have missed the disclaimer that said winter theme. It's all right, Hatter, you weren't the only one. So what I did was is I went back and I looked myself through some of my contests, all my contests actually, and I just opened up some of the winter themed ones. I pulled out some of Deb's poems. No, because it's okay. So we'll just have winter ones, non-winter ones. It's absolutely fine. So this next one I am going to read, and it's Deborah Lee. She's still got a call, I believe, but this isn't the one that she picked. It's just another one that I did. And it's of a Christmas ornament, and it's in my barrister bookshelf. So it's got a wooden background, but it's one of my favorite Christmas ornaments. It was my mom's. She gave me most of her Christmas ornaments a while ago, years ago. And there's a whole set, and she really loves snowmen, and I really love snowmen. But I'm not sure if it's because I really love snowmen or it's because I really love snowmen because I grew up loving snowmen because my mom had every snowman decoration known on the planet. So, but this is really cute. It's like a little curio, and he's waving, and he's got his little old snow hat on and rosy cheeks, and it's so cute. And this one was by Deborah Lee. It's Susie Snowflake and the Princess Peg Play for Just One Day by Deborah Lee. Peg is a peppermint prince. Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Hatter, do you have the link? Are you on the poem?
I'm getting, yes, I am.
Okay. All right, we're ready. We're ready.
Well, I was. Yeah, we're good.
Snowflake and the Princess Peg played for just one day by Deborah Lee. Peg the Peppermint Princess carries in crystal and icicle scepter, riding in on her red-nosed deer. She and her cousin Susie Snowflake now play dressed in periwinkle gear, matching crocheted cotton hat and vest. The twin spearmint-hued scarves tucked beneath two pairs of icy ears. White fringe hangs from knitted mittens as they giggle and dance beneath the opal snow, wearing pink-purple boots. Then from a gust, their frosted breeches show, with bright scarlet noses and rose-petaled cheeks nipped by whispering winds that blow. They smile with no blue-eyed blink, but they do not show the starlight's glow. In the neon that shines announcing morning, Mercury climbs up the thermometer to show that the whiteout cousins must go. End poem. And I thought this was really fun. She wrote, "This is a shout out for all the snow people we build over the years that melt away in the sunshine and trigger tears." Yeah. I don't know if I've ever experienced a child crying because the snowman has melted, but I'm sure there's lots of tears that happen. I thought this was so fun, and one of my favorite things about this poem, I know at the first three lines I was kind of stumbling, so I apologize for that, but I think I got it together after that. But the thing that I really like about this is that she describes what the snowman is wearing, or in her case, the snowwoman is wearing, so wonderfully with the crocheted cotton hat and vest, and then the color that she's bringing in, and then also the white fringe that hangs from the knitted mitten. And if you take the photo away, you're going to be able to visualize this little snow person. And I really love that. I also loved her sense of humor and this little crystal ice scepter. I don't know why that's really hard for me to say, but that's when I started stumbling in the first opening. I mean, it's brilliant, but it's like crystal icicle scepter. That's a scepter. You know what it is? It's because she has Carrie's crystal icicle scepter. So she's got the two hard C's, then she's got the two soft C's, and my brain cannot transition. It's hard. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, I think, there. She did it at the beginning, too. Look at Peg, the Peppermint Princess. It's all alliteration. So I think it's really cool, that too. All right. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
I wonder if she called, 23andMe to find out how Peg and Susie Snowflake are related, because, you know, she just pulled that out of the air. You know, it's like, well, Susie Snowflake is related to Peg over here, and she's got this whole family thing going on. I mean, that's incredible to begin with. You know, it's one thing to just, you know, start character development, but now it's like, you know, I got the alliteration going and they're family members. So here we go, and now we're diving in, and you know, there's something, a special bond, you know, when you got siblings too, and the holidays, and she all that fun and happiness and joy that you find in the holidays, and you see in children playing and whatnot, she's got all that contained in that piece, you know, by making them related and everything, you right off the bat you see smiles, you see the similarities in their you know, like their eyes and things like that, and the freckles across their nose. It's like, well, if one does and they're related, the other one has to have them too. And you start drawing the picture in your brain, you know, or at least I do. But you know, I have a blank canvas, so maybe I have an advantage. I don't know. But I love the piece. You know, that there's such a warm, even though it's about icicles and everything else, it's still a warm piece. And she does mention the Mercury going up in the end, so I'll cling to that.
Awesome, excellent comment, Ann Hatter.
Oh, come on, man! It's all about Susie Chapstick. She describes her to, you know, you gotta remember where our lovely leader came from. I can see her, where is that part, wearing pink purple boots, frosted breeches, miniskirts. Susie Chapstick, have you remember her?
Yeah.
I have
Susie
not.
Susie Chapstick.
It was a commercial.
She was an Olympic. She was an Olympic. She was an Olympic skier, American Olympic skier. And she did the chapstick commercials, Susie Chapstick.
Awesome.
That's what
All
I got.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.
For I'm just she's gonna be like, why? She's like, why are so many of my poems being read? Because you wrote for all my winter ones, Deb. All right, so this poem, your poem is up, Hatter, and this picture is a picture.
Oh,
it was taken in England. You and AP really love my England pictures. So this one was taken in England, and this was actually the one of the one with the roots and the one that he just read wrote for tonight. The one with the roots in the ground. This was actually in the same walk. So you and AP wrote for two of the pictures that were taken in the same photo thing, I guess you would say, because I was walking this. Sarah was like, let's go see a waterfall. And I said, okay. And then I thought it was going to be like one waterfall that we go to when we walk, but it wasn't. It was like a series of like six waterfalls. And we had to like hike across the universe. It took hours and hours. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like, I had to go across fields with sheep. I'm like, what?
Oh, no. It's mean sheep.
But also it was like, we were going like up these stairs that were built into the gorge, and it was just like like out to the wall, and so some of the stairs were like really, because they were built, they were stones, they were huge steps, and some of them were like weird steps, and it was all built into the side, and then you just go through the series of waterfalls, and then you go through the big field with the sheep, and then you end up going back around. But you end up back not really in the same spot, but you, it's like a big, like a bow loop, but it's a totally different going down from where you came up. It's totally, because you had to go across a field and then go back down. So you're not a field, like a pasteurized meadow that's like, I don't even know how, it was so long.
That didn't sound too bad.
It was absolutely gorgeous. It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was my second favorite place that we went to there. It was so worth it, but I really thought I was going to die.
Did you make fires?
Uh-huh.
The sheep. It's a sheep.
Did you get tired counting the sheep?
Oh, my gosh. I got tired taking the steps. And she runs around hospitals all day, so she's, like, running around, like, blah, 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 and I'm like, you know. Like, someone get the gurney. Like, what are we doing
You can just envision you and Dorothy going across the poppy field heading for a waterfall.
I know. There was supposed to be a restaurant open halfway. Like, there's like this restaurant in the middle of nowhere, and it was closed. And we weren't prepared for that. So I was, by the time we got done, I was like,
did you have any mint chili handy?
I was running by the end. Like, by the end, I was sprinting. It's still not that far away, and I was sprinting. I wasn't taking any more pictures. I was done. Sprinting to the end. So all the pictures.
Is that with our friend Sarah?
Like the beginning and the middle. I'm sorry?
Sarah.
Is that with our friend Sarah? Sarah
Hallett, the one on AP.
Sarah.
So she was like, we're almost done. I was like, okay, well, I'm not taking any more pictures. I'm just running the whole way there.
I must ask. I must ask, what winter do you see in that picture? That's what threw me. I just grabbed the picture.
I'm sorry?
He's not seeing winter.
Winter theme. That's probably why I didn't get any ice in there or snow.
Are there sheep?
Well, I'm just talking about the picture. That doesn't look wintry.
Yeah, are there sheep in the picture?
Oh, it doesn't look wintry. No, because on my topic board, it says Shutter Button Poetry,
winter theme.
Yeah.
But I forgive you.
Yeah,
it's fine. You've got a poem. That's all it matters. So this is Pagan in August.
I'm trying to do headset. Can you guys hear me okay?
This one was Pagan in August.
Okay. I'm trying a new headset. You can hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
I'm sorry? Yeah, you sound fine.
He's got a new headset.
But I am ready. Yeah. I am ready for you to read.
Okay. Now, I tried something different. And I hope I get the cadence right. I probably won't because it's sort of jumbled, but I'll try. So it's a little different than my normal, you know. So that's my disclaimer after that. Okay, it's called, Is This How It Will End? The path I took while traveling home took me back to where I was only half grown. The canopy greens that shaded my steps could only mean I had to face my regrets. Simply softened by the moist air, felt as often as to compare the memories stuck inside my head. I thought it was something I read in the lines that told me those things. Okay, here it is. In the lines that told me those things that hold me back where I belong, to hear the songs that send my thoughts to where I was lost and no one knew I was gone. The prayer I heard was a few words and those that I'd written before. I knew just then where it begins in the corner above the door. I had to find the perfect rhymes to keep it would let me in. Tell me, please, I'm on my knees. Is this how it will end? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like so it could be relatable to my walk across the universe. Where will it end? Or how will it end? No, I really love this. I love this because you are looking at the path of these steps. With the, you know, for those there is pretty much green foliage surrounding this photo, and you just see this path of stairs, but it's not like regular stairs. It's like built into the side of the the gorge, yeah, like I had said, and then it has, you know, the wooden thing right next to it.
The railing.
It's a wooden railing, but it's like the fence railing. It's like it keeps you very, very safe so that you're not falling into the waterfall below. But you're looking at this path, and I love the way that you took it. I loved how you brought in. There was one specific part too where I saw that. The canopy of greens, of course, I'm seeing how you got those images, but you're translating them differently into print. So you're seeing, and then there was another one, simply softened by moist air I felt. And there's a lot of soft moss on one side of this photo. So mm-hmm. I love the way that you interpreted it. You've internalized it. You've seen the photo, and then you internalized it into a different and more personal, you know, existential piece about going back in time and going back through memories and back through moments and finding yourself where you are and saying, okay, well, am I lost? Where am I going? Where have I been? And at the end, you know, how will it end? What does the future look like for me? And you go through all this just by looking down this path. And of course, our path are the roads that we take for life. And, you know, we can look back at our past and we can see our regrets. We could see emotions we felt. We could feel them again. And it is, you know, human nature to say, okay, well, where is this leading? Where am I going? So I really like how you took the picture, but then you went a complete personal route to it and kind of put your own spin on it. It was wonderfully done. And cool. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the metaphor of going down the path as well. And the idea of, you know, they talk about being in the winter of our lives. So the references to the dilemma that you always have when you're writing is, how am I going to finish this? Where's it going to end? And you tie that into the poem with life and that idea as well. So that was brilliant. You know, anyone that's familiar with your writing and the way that you think, you know, knows that thought's always predominant in your mind. It's like, how am I going to finish this? You know, where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
You're always asking yourself that. But There's a point to it, you know, and you enjoy getting there, and you usually do it with a whimsy and a bit of nostalgia, and this is no different. This is great.
Yeah, it all started in the corner above the door. I'll be in the corner above the door, so full circle. And if you were to pick any place in the world of my memories, it would be a trail like this, a path, because there's many of them in my life. And my childhood, a young adult, the hiking, Northern California and the Sierras, many paths like this. I mean, I saw this picture and that's where I stopped. I didn't go any further. I knew that I was going to write. Sort of coming up the trail rather than down. So it's like coming home, full circle, and it's like, okay, a heavy deja vu, like now I'm in the loop. Is this where it ends? I got to do it all again, you know?
Yeah.
In a nice fuzzy feeling. Warm fuzzy feeling. Thank you, Sky. Thank you, Ron.
Like bunny.
Wrong holiday.
And green's my favorite.
All right.
Green's my favorite color. In the late fall, early winter, on the farm, or in the foothills, that is my favorite time of year, and it's the favorite colors, the moss, and then everything's green.
I do love those colors, but I have to say, autumn is mine. I'm definitely an autumn girl. I love autumn. I love the greens, and I love kayaking. I love the water. I love being out there in the woods. But there's just something about autumn that the artist in me just absolutely loves. There's so many colors. I absolutely love October. Yeah. Wait, so I have the next one up. Yeah. I have the next one up, and I was getting in my car, and I looked out my window, and frozen to my window was just these beautiful crystals of snowflakes, and they were just so vivid and outlined. It was really beautiful. Hatter, do you see the last home I got? It's Deborah Lee.
Window pane?
Yeah. So there's a little explanation.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little explanation of the photo. And I actually have this one on my recommended list. She did win gold for it, but I'm going to go ahead and read for her. So this goes, "Lace flakes tap, tap as they stick to the window pane," by Deborah Lee. "In the cabin, the fireplace roars. Hot orange flames climb from the log, toasting the room. Wrapped in my periwinkle blanket, steam rises from the coffee mug, wrapped with all 10 fingers as the sides warm my palm. Sipping and sighing, my brain travels to you, to that laugh, to that voice. Outside the plate glass, the air fills with a chill. Snowflakes dance over the lake, then glittering snow whitewashes the bank. Winter winds whisper with breezes blowing frost kisses. Every kiss marks the window glass, leaving a frozen patchwork quilt, and the icy scene warms me. Could a scene of frozen ice warm me, or is the heat from picturing you?" And my favorite part in this, and I'm sure I haven't read my comment yet, but I'm sure it probably was the same, because I think that it would always be this. But the part where she talks about the kisses marking the window and leaving a frozen patchwork quilt, I love the idea of being blown kisses and then turned into a frozen patchwork quilt on the window. I just really thought that was not only creative, but visually absolutely beautifully done. Really well done. Thank you so much, Deborah Lee. What do you think, Raconteur? Rack?
I'm sorry. I was trying to, yeah, I got something going on over here. I'm sorry. I missed it.
Oh, okay. Heather?
Yeah. Deborah describes her surroundings very well. Being that of a California surfer, cowboy, hippie type of guy, I don't do the snow and ice. I visit it once in a while. But I love the pictures. And that is cool. That's on your windshield or your driver door window.
I said windshield, but it was on my driver's door window.
Almost says something. Wrapped by periwinkle.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, this periwinkle. I said it almost says spell something. That's why.
Oh.
I love the way Deborah describes her surroundings. And let me ask you guys, would you live in the snow would you live if you had a choice of living in the below the snow line?
You mean in an area that had snow?
Let's say you live in a place where you live in an area that you've got snow and ice on the ground 4 months of the year, 5 months of the year, maybe four months of the year. Is that my choice?
December, late November, December, January, February. I do live in a place that has snow or ice about 4 or 5 months sometimes. 4 months, right? Because December, sometimes it goes all the way out till the beginning of March, right? So January, February, March, December, and then half of November, so that's 4.5 months. So I do live in a place like that, and I have to say that I would never want to live out of New Hampshire. I really love New Hampshire. I think if I moved, I would probably only go as far as Vermont. And Vermont and New Hampshire are very alike. State. So, I wouldn't want to move. I love the snow until I have to drive in it, and that's the only time I don't like it. But now that I work at school, we have snow days, so I don't have to drive in it.
Snow days.
Well, yeah, because when the kids get a snow day, so do we. So we're not going in without them. So I would say, the only time I don't really like snow is, like, when I do have to drive, and I do not like driving in snow. But other than that, and it's just something you get used to up here. You know, we all have snow tires. We all need to get prepared and things like that. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. So, no, I'm happy where I am.
Okay.
But I really love
simple
New Hampshire. You're talking to someone who really loves New Hampshire. So
absolutely beautiful. I mean, I stayed up in Tahoe, Lake Tahoe, which is in the Sierras, not far from where I'm at, and the snow line there. But I would have a tough time. All of a sudden living above the snow line where, you know, you've got a lot of snow and ice a big portion of the year. But,
well, you definitely do have to get used to it. And the thing is that sometimes there's snow and it's like 70 degrees out. It's really, it's really
weird
here.
We got some of the best ski resorts in the world. Around Lake Tahoe, which is absolutely gorgeous up there. But it can be, Donner Pass. You know what happened to the Donner Party? Not to bring up bad memories. Yeah, it was just a question. I was curious if you had a choice, or a lot of people, that's all they know. And that's not a big deal. They love it up there.
I do. I love this. There's this clip, an English comedy clip, and it talks about how English people react to snow because they
They don't have any.
They don't ever have snow.
So they get one little dusting and they're like, we're calling out, we're doing this, we're doing that. And I think it's the most funniest clip. And even though I've seen it like a million times, every time it comes back into my feed and says, oh, well, you know, 3 years ago or whatever, I still think it is the funniest thing. I don't know why. I think it is the most hilarious thing.
I thought they got snow. I don't know why. A lot of fog.
All right, so do you have Snowman Poem, Winter Nightmare? Is that?
Yeah, the winter nightmare. It's not nightmare. It's heartbreak.
Oh, okay. This is the one I want.
Yeah.
I wanted this picture. What did you call it? Winter's Heartbreak. Okay. So, all right. So we're going to drop this last one, and then I'm going to say a little bit about my music, and then we will be closing out. Deb, you have a SoundCloud. So hold on. Let me see if I can just get this downloaded. Okay. I wonder if that one is in the studio. All right, give me one second because I do want to. Deb did drop this specific one, so I want to make sure I read the one she dropped as well. Just because she did drop it, so we will do yours as well. Let me just upload it. And while it's uploading, I will just read home.
Definitely.
And I will multitask like a champ. All right, so the poem that Deb really picked, it was also in England. You guys just really, I don't know what it is, but you guys really want to go to England. I'll tell you what, because you guys keep picking all my winter poems, winter pictures, but I really love doorways. And I know that it's a really weird thing to just take a picture of a doorway, but I do a lot. Well, and especially in England, they have like fancy doors. Like their doors are
like
so pretty and fancy. Huh?
It's like staircases. It's like staircases. No, I understand it.
There was some famous with doorways. I don't remember if it was album covers or just a photo series, but it was all ways.
The thing about doorways is because when I'm writing a poem, if I'm looking at a doorway, there's the whole world behind that doorway.
And the story goes, the fable goes, if you run across a stairway, a staircase or a door in the middle of the woods, don't go near it.
Yeah.
I don't trust staircases. They're always up to something.
So when I'm going past something, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this will make a great prompt. So I'll take a picture, and everybody thinks I'm weird, but I'm like, this will make a great prompt. But this one was a beautiful doorway. It had the beautiful wide bricks, but also, or like stones, rather. It wasn't bricks. It was stones. And it had a beautiful little lamppost, which I love lampposts. And then it had the old-fashioned latch door. But the thing that I really loved about it is that it was shaded, but there were like spots in the trees that the light was shining through, so it just kind of has like these few flakes of light on either side of the door and a little bit on the door. It was really, really nice. I'm going to put it in the flip through after the show's over so that people who are listening to the show or the playback can see what I'm talking about as well. But this is called On the Walkway by a Storybook Cathedral by Deborah Lee. Deep inside a green forest, outside the towns and cities, fought a camouflaged wood door, housing flowers, elves, and fairies. Neon rainbows line the trail under weeping willow trees by a leprechaun, potting gold for honeybees. Sunlight stripes wet shaded walls. Moss grows on the marble bricks. Thatch on roof wears thorns and thrush, fallen leaves and dark brown sticks. By an edge inside the garden, roosters strut and hens and chicks. Butterflies fly as songbirds sing with a symphony of cricket clicks. A breeze blows through the treetops, circled by nine dragonflies. Honeysuckles perfume air in a lavender sunrise. Every night as starlight glitter, winking silver in night skies, dance barefoot on the pathway marked by blinking fireflies. And I love that because she took, I mean, there were so many reasons why I love that, but the light that I was talking about on the door, she really brought that into the poem. And that was one of my, I mean, I love the lamppost and I love the door and I love the stone walls around the door. But like I said, the light for me that was just scattered, I don't even know if I noticed that when I took the picture and then it came, I'm like, I'm not even sure, but the way that she brought it in with the blinking fireflies and the earlier on too, there was another part she brought it in. I just really love how she brought that part in because it was one of my favorite parts. And again, magical, magical. She's bringing in leprechauns. She's bringing in the honeybees and the willow trees. And I just love it, love it. And then this whole thing about the rooster was just really random, but it really fit the poem. Like, that's what I mean. Like, she's just, there's no willow trees in here. There's no bees. There's no owls. There's, you know, there's no crickets. That was one of my favorite parts, too, with the symphony of cricket clicks. I liked that. There were no crickets. Brought all this stuff in with her imagination just looking at this door, and I think that it is brilliant. So congratulations on the gold, well earned. And Raconteur, what do you think?
I mean, there's a lot of symbolism and throughout this, depending on how big or small you want to make the lens. I mean, you've got the doors and the stones and things like that. You got musical stuff, and then bees and honey and leprechauns. I mean, leprechauns, honey is gold, and you know, that brings the leprechauns in. It's a lot of fantasy and whatnot and intertwined in this, that she was all over the place in a wonderful way. It's all connected down that picture, down the path that the door leads to.
So, yeah.
Very, very creative, very imaginative.
Excellent comment. And Hatter?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to go back. I wanted to share that picture that I put up on the thing. The chat. Do you see the chat?
Yeah. That's a gorgeous picture.
Yeah. Inside the garden.
Did you have a comment for Deborah's poem?
Yeah, she's got to be talking about her, you know, her own personal memory, right? The rainbow with the chicks, so the hens and the chicks, the rooster strut.
And nine dragonflies.
Well, she just went just absolutely brilliant.
Just about that. Just with the fireflies, no crickets, dragonflies. There it is.
Well, I think
nine
she,
of them.
Yeah,
she
beautiful.
She put those in
at the end.
The
yeah.
Light. Yeah.
I was
so
playing catch up.
For dropping that one, and I do have Raconteur loaded up in a studio. I'm gonna go ahead and press play, and then I'm gonna talk about my closing song, and we're gonna say goodnight. But here is Raconteur, and I love this poem. I'm super jealous of this. So this was a picture prompt Monday. It's a snowman with a umbrella, and I really was just like, I think I want this photo. And then he stole it, and then he wrote a poem to it. And then I was like, no, never writing to that, because now I think that one's just the best, and I don't want to do it. So here we go.
Winter's heartbreak by Raconteur. I wanted to be her umbrella, but she was simply too cold. Every time she held me, my heart felt as if it had just been sold. She took my offer of shelter and understanding when times get hard, and wrapped a scarf around it to display like a trophy in her front yard. When a snowman's feelings seem inconsequential, do they sob cubes of ice? Is it possible to endure when it seems nothing will suffice? Summer came and everything melted, much to my relief. Nothing left but a top hat as a monument to my grief. End poem.
Yeah, so of course that's the Hurt Locker. And I love the Hurt Locker, and I hate the Hurt Locker. This is on so many people's lists. It's recommended by Low Lizzie, recommended by Crystal Cole, recommended by me. It's on two of Hatter's lists, separately, Lady A, someone else. Sweet Pea, and another one of Deborah Lee's, just on so many lists, and it's there's a reason why. It's so well deserved, and I really love this one, even though it kind of rips my heart out. You know, this idea when a snowman's feelings seem inconsequential, that they sob tubes of ice. I love this one, and like I said before, I did want to take a photo and write to it, but now I just correlate this poem with this photo. And it's not because the photo, it's not the photo that sticks in my mind. It's because what you did with the photo and how you internalized it and brought it with so much emotion, and how the snowman paired with the umbrella in a more tangible and personable and intimate way with feelings and feelings of hurt. So excellent, excellent rack. I really love this one. I'm glad that you were able to get this to me so that I can share it. And Hatter, what do you think?
Well, you know, to the question that was asked earlier about you never heard anybody crying about a melting snowman. I think it's all how it's presented, because anytime you talk about a kid about it, you soften it up. Oh, he'll be back next year. He'll be okay. It's all right. But if you lay it on thick, you go, yep, that's it. Every time you see a puddle, that's him. You can really crush somebody. Yeah, a little kid. So I just had to.
Well, I love how this one, it goes past the idea of children and playthings and child's imagination, and goes more into the relationship as an adult. And, you know, my heart felt as if it just been sold. She took my offer of shelter and understanding, and being stripped of those things, and wrapped a scarf around it. I loved that part. Excellent.
Yeah. When's a snowman's feelings inconsequential?
No.
Terrible. Yeah.
Thank you, Raconteur. All right, we are closing out with a live. Well, first let me say thank you to Raconteur, AP Taylor, Deborah Lee, and Hatter for all calling, contributing, and spending some time with me. I know we're my time is a little funky right now, and I do apologize, but that will not change, unfortunately, for a while. And so thanks for bearing with me, because I do still want to do the shows, but my schedules are a little thin right now, or heavy rather, right? My time is thin, my schedule is heavy. I'm not sure how you want to say it, but chaotic. But we are closing out with a live.
We're on demand.
Yeah, with a live playing of Bing Crosby and Billy Idol. And a little bit about Bing Crosby. He was an American actor, television producer, television
Bowie.
Radio personality, and businessman. The first multimedia star, has one of the most popular and
influential musical artist of the 20th century worldwide. He was a leader of the Record Sales Network radio ratings and motion picture grosses from 1926 to 1977. He was one of the first global cultural icons. He made over 70 feature films and recorded over more than 1,600 songs. And, of course, Billy Idol was known professionally, or William Michael Albert Broad was known professionally.
Aren't you thinking of David Bowie?
Oh, why do I always do that?
It's David Bowie,
It's David Bowie. I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that. It is David Bowie. When did I do that? I did that some other time. Good thing, Hatter, you're here.
It's okay.
Good thing you're here. David Bowie, you remind me of the babe. I'm so sorry. I don't know why. I don't know why I did that. But thank you. So he was an English singer-songwriter. Good thing you know the song that I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. A leading figure in music industry, he was regarded as one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century. Bowie was acclaimed for critics and musicians, particularly for his innovative work during the 1970s. His career was marked by, music and stagecraft had a significant impact on popular music. I'm sorry, David Bowie. Please forgive me. I don't know why I keep on doing that.
He was in a band with Peter Frampton and went to music school with Peter Frampton, and his dad popped there. And his real name is David Jones, but he couldn't use it because of the monkeys. So he picked David Bowie.
Oh, good. Additional information. Did you read that on the internet?
I knew that a long time ago.
Well, I meant because you always say anything you if anything on the internet is true.
I did a show on Peter Frampton, and that bit of information came across that he went to music school. I can't remember the institute name in England, but with Peter Frampton. They were like 13, 12 years old when they had their first band. Or first played together.
Awesome.
Anyway.
It all worked out.
All
right, so I'm going to go ahead and press play, and then we're going to be closing out. Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Winter's Heartbreak.
That's not the right one. Here we go.
Hello. You the new butler?
It's been a long time since I've been the new anything.
What's happened to Hudson?
I guess he's changing.
Yeah, he does that a lot, doesn't he? I'm David Bowie. I live down the road.
Oh.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he?
I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in. Come in.
Yes. Come on in. Are you related to Sir Percival?
Well, distantly,
Oh, you're not the poor relation from America, right?
Ha! Gee, news sure travels fast, doesn't it? I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Oh, well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Well, mostly the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like John Lennon and the other one with Harry Nilsson.
You go back that far, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a 6-year-old son, and he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, most of them, really. Presents, tree, decorations, agent sliding down the chimney.
What?
I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, our family do most of the things that other families do. We sing the same songs.
Do you?
I even have a go at White Christmas.
You too, huh?
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty thing, isn't it?